With the convention over, the 1996 campaign for the White House entered its final phase today. President Clinton and Vice President Al Gore began a campaign bus tour that will take them through Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, and Tennessee, all states that are considered up for grabs this year. Linda Wertheimer is in Chicago, and this morning she discussed the Democratic convention with Teresa Tritch, Washington bureau chief for Money Magazine, David Brooks, senior editor for the Weekly Standard and a commentator on All Things Considered, and Ron Brownstein, national political correspondent for the Los Angeles Times.
If you look back through the speech, if you sort of think of the quotable quote, the memorable moment, does anybody have a quote? Does anybody remember a moment? Ron, you're shaking your head no.
I can sell you a bridge somewhere. I was wondering about halfway through this speech what they would have done as an organizing metaphor without Bob Dole and Mark Halperin. If they had not talked about a bridge to the past, who knows how they would have collected this. But there was no rhetorical high point. There was, however, a relentless attempt to draw the future-past contrast and basically say that Bob Dole, as he did in San Diego, said, I will be a bridge back to a time of tranquility. Bill Clinton said, I want to be a bridge to the future, underscoring the 23-year age gap, which is the largest ever between contending candidates.
What about policy? If not a quote of high principle and political possibility, then what about some kind of policy quote? Does anything stand out in your mind, David Brooks?
Well, they were all teeny tiny policies. They were micro policies. You know, he had the airport metal detectors in there that the president was going to do. That he's running for mayor of the country, you sometimes think. So I don't think there's any one policy. What you get the sense is a lot of basically little good ideas. If you're not sitting in the front row, it's sometimes hard to see them because they're so small.
Sort of a manageable government, the idea that that the president is not attempting anything impossible.
Yeah, I think people are looking, you know, people have somewhat lost faith in government, not totally. But what they want to be reassured is that first, do no harm. Don't run up big deficits. Don't do anything terrible. These little policies sort of reassure that.
Teresa Tritch, there were some little tax policies in the speech.
Well, I think the huge policy difference in this election is going to be the targeted tax breaks versus the huge supply-side economic plan that Senator Dole has put forward. So in that regard, the line by, I've paid for my tax cuts line by line, dime for dime, I think will, and hopefully for Clinton, if this is what he's going for, catch on. And I think it does very much talk about what the difference is between those two policies. He's clearly trying to go after very major sectors of the middle class. He has the students, the people saving for college, and their parents, the homeowners, and the younger parents with the children, because his tax credit only goes up to children 13 years of age. So I think that instead of saying I can do a broad tax cut, I can sweep in everybody all at once, he's trying to say however you regard yourself as a student, a parent, a worker, an investor, we're going to try to give you something that you can call your tax break and then avoid this criticism that he's going to come up against that he didn't deliver on that promise last time around.
I was struck in the speech by the section on how to proceed in the political campaign where he said, I will not attack. I will not attack them, meaning the other candidates personally, or permit others to do it in this party if I can prevent it. This should be a campaign of ideas, not a campaign of insults. There again, I think that might be something that the American people could really would really appreciate.
Well, that follows the extraordinary and probably unprecedented spectacle of Wednesday night, Bob Dole twice receiving a round of applause from the floor of the Democratic Convention when both Al Gore and Christopher Dodd, before their criticism of him on policy, praised his service to the country. I think you can look at this through three different reasons. One is that there's no doubt, and focus groups and polling that both parties have done made clear, that people are recoiling more and more from negative attacks. They saw that very clearly in San Diego. Secondly, in a more crass way, you can say that Bill Clinton believes that, and the White House believes that there may be more Americans likely to vote against Bill Clinton on personal and character grounds than Bob Dole. So if you take those issues off the table, you're advantaged. And third, to give them their due, I think that that they do, in fact, would prefer a debate about their different directions for taking the, you know, where to take the country in the next century. Who can build the better bridge?
Mayor Richard Daley, the original Mayor Richard Daley of this city, once said famously that politics ain't beanbag. It's a rough game. We play it roughly. These days, politics is becoming more and more beanbaggish. It's becoming a little too genteel. These two conventions were almost too genteel for my tastes. I was getting the idea we should just merge them, get all our uplifting stories in one place, and then they, both parties could have them together. They're so feel-goodish. I think that is that what he said last night was an attempt to get the character issue off the table. It's not going to happen.
Well, while we're on the subject of character issues, this entire speech does fall right into the general design for the campaign of the president's now absent advisor, Dick Morris, who left under a cloud because of sexual scandal stories which appeared in a supermarket tabloid and then in the New York Post. Does a campaign strategist, a consultant, is it once removed from the president and therefore not a problem, or does it just revive all of the concerns that people have had about the president, his character, and his behavior?
I'd say it bleeds into Clinton in three indirect ways, but possible ways. One, it's a sex scandal. Clinton has not been a stranger. Two, it's about a guy who spins for a living. And one of the criticisms of this administration is that it spins too much. And three, the way Dick Morris allegedly acted with this woman was like a teenage boy bragging, "I'm so close to the president, listening to the phone calls, here are the speeches." It is so boyish and adolescent. And then that's the third criticism of this administration, which is that it has too many people who are too young for their jobs.
That the president, somebody said to us yesterday, they thought that the president had to be the first grown-up baby boomer. This would revive concerns that perhaps he wasn't.
Well, maybe, but I think inevitably it will with some. But you know, the polling has been very clear all year. There are people who will vote against Bill Clinton because they think he lacks the moral stature to be president, and that is a group that is insufficient to win an election for Bob Dole. And I don't think this is going to significantly enlarge the group. These revelations as they come out on whatever subject, and there seems to be an endless supply of them around Bill Clinton, they tend to deepen rather than broaden the depth of that feeling. And you know, what you see is that many other voters either recoil from the whole idea of these sorts of things. They don't like talking about it. They don't like hearing about it. Or they sublimate them to what they consider their more daily and immediate concerns. From a campaign point of view, to stretch a construction metaphor, I mean, the house that Morris built is completed. And the fact that he is leaving is not likely to change Clinton's course between now and November, as some in the Dole campaign hope. I mean, the idea of a family focus, providing tools for parents, centrist, budget balancing, yet activist government, all of those central constructs are laid in place, and I don't see any chance of them changing between now and the election.
Teresa?
I agree. If you were inclined to base your vote on the character issue, this will certainly sway you and may solidify that vote. But I think most people are looking for something else. I think they are looking to the economics of this. And I think that Clinton was right in saying, let's debate these issues instead. So unless this story has some other facets to it that we haven't heard about yet, I think it won't have that big an effect on the outcome.
Let me just add, I think the only way Dole can really win is if enough sort of independent voters go into that voting booth in November and somewhere in the back of their minds say, yuck, or, I just don't like the guy, Clinton. That's the only way I think Bob Dole can win, and this sort of is a subliminal little bit that could go into that sort of decision.
A small increment that might add to that. Well, what about the conventions? Now, we've seen two conventions now. Both of them have been non-events for the most part, in that we knew what was going to happen, and it did. There are two candidates launched. Where do these two conventions leave the two candidates?
Well, I think they leave Bill Clinton in a very strong position. If you look back at what's happened over the last 50 years, we don't really have an example of a candidate coming from as far behind after both conventions as Bob Dole would have to. The closest may be Harry Truman in 1948, and the polling isn't really as detailed for that. For the era in which we have detailed polling, we've only had two candidates move anywhere near as much as Bob Dole would have to. Hubert Humphrey in 1968 against Richard Nixon, and Gerald Ford against Jimmy Carter in 1976. First of all, both lost. And secondly, in each case, the candidate who was ahead didn't really lose support after Labor Day. All that really happened was that undecideds moved toward the challenger. In all likelihood, the polling this weekend is going to show Bill Clinton over 50%. And that means Bob Dole has a very high wall of history to climb over if he's going to win this election.
Teresa, what do you think about these warm and fuzzy, pastel, soft, all those words that we've heard about the conventions and their presentation of the candidates?
What struck me the most about the conventions is that what I saw with the Democratic Party is an overarching unity, even though they have differences. But what was clear is that they seem to be unified on the point that they all believe the country will go in the wrong direction if Senator Dole is elected and there's a Republican Congress. Where in San Diego, what I saw was an overarching disunity. Even though they were trying to say up on the podium that we're a unified party, they were not unified to the point that they could hardly mention abortion when they were up there, even though it's one of the most divisive issues. And they were not unified to the point that their own candidate had to say, I didn't even read the platform. So I think that was the big contrast. And I think going forward, this won't be a marketing push. This will really be who is the Democratic Party and who is the Republican Party. And I think if that really can become clearer to the American people, then the vote that they're going to cast is going to become clearer to them, because they really are going to see, as President Clinton stressed in his speech, this difference, a real difference that they have here. And if that can sway their vote, then I think that the president has succeeded in what he was trying to do in his speech, which is say, focus on the issues, focus on what I'm telling you here tonight, focus on the details of the plan.
David Brooks, do you think these two conventions, which to an observer landing on the planet would have looked very much alike, it seems to me, these two very similar conventions launching two very different parties, very different candidates, will the differences be perceived?
Well, there are two parties who are both ashamed of politics and both a bit ashamed of their core principles. The difference is that in the Republican Party, you have two relatively self-confident wings, the Christian right and sort of the Republican Christie Todd Whitmans. At this party, what you had were the liberals basically lying down. They danced the Macarena while liberalism burned.
Thank you all very much. David Brooks is senior editor of The Standard. Teresa Tritch is the Washington Bureau Chief of Money Magazine. And Ron Brownstein is the national political correspondent of the Los Angeles Times. Baila tu cuerpo alegría Macarena, que tu cuerpo es para dar la alegría y cosas buenas. Baila tu cuerpo alegría Macarena, Macarena. Ay.